Both the 4th and 5th Imams greatly encouraged Azai Hussein. In their times, Azai Hussein had to be performed in utmost secrecy as the regime was opposed to any remembrance of Karbala. The poets who composed elegies and the devout Shias who attended the gatherings at which these elegies were recited did so at the risk of their lives. But nonetheless, the poets continued to pour out their emotions in their poetry. Some of these poetry still exists today, and one can see the intensity of faith and sadness which are enshrined in the words of the poets. Gradually, the institution of ziyara came into being. People would visit the graves of the martyrs and there perform Azai Hussein. Our imams wrote for them ziyaras to be recited. One of these ziyaras, which is still recited today by us, is known as Ziyar-e-Waritha. When we examine Ziyar-e-Waritha, we can see not only a testimony of the greatness of Imam Hussein and the moving sentiments describing his sacrifice for the cause of Allah, but also a solemn pledge and a commitment by the reciter. And I make Allah, his angels, his prophets, and his messengers witnesses to the fact that I believe in Imam Hussein and in my return to Allah. I also believe in the laws of Allah and in the consequences of human actions. I subordinated the desires of my heart to Imam Hussein's heart, and I sincerely submit to him and promise to follow his commands. Clearly, this undertaking was never meant by our imams to be an empty ritual. The recitation of Ziyar-e-Waritha is a commitment to Imam Hussein's cause, made in the presence of Allah and the angels and the prophets and the messengers, and in full awareness of the final accountability of human action. One must always reflect upon the seriousness and solemnity of this pledge. Until the time of Ghaybat-e-Kubra, we find that our imams always encouraged Azai Hussein. They saw in Azai Hussein not only a demonstration of grief for Imam Hussein and the martyrs of Karbala, but also a renewal of one's commitment to Allah and his laws, as explained in the Holy Quran and the Ahadith. We have records of the sayings of the representatives or the naibs during Ghaybat-e-Sughra explaining and encouraging Azai Hussein. From 329 AH onwards, the fuqaha and the ulemas took it upon themselves to perpetuate the message of Karbala. Sheikh Saduq, who died in 381 AH, was the first scholar to have introduced prose as medium of conveying the message of Imam Hussein. He would sit on a pulpit and speak about Imam Hussein and his message, while many of his students sat by the side of the pulpit and recorded the speech. His speeches have been preserved and to this day are known as the dictations of Sheikh Saduq. Public demonstration of grief first occurred in 351 AH. On the 10th of Muharram, there was a spontaneous procession in the street of Baghdad, and thousands of men, women, and children came out chanting, "Ya Hussein, Ya Hussein," beating their chests and reciting elegies. In the same year, a similar procession took place in Egypt. The regime tried its best to stem the tide of Azai Hussein, but failed. Very soon, Azai Hussein became the institution with deep roots in the hearts of Muslims. Majlis evolved into an institution for Amr bil Maruf and Nahi anil Munkar, as well as a reminder of the tragic events of Karbala. And as Islam spread, different cultures adopted different modes of Azai Hussein. Taimur Lang introduced the institution of Tabut and Alam in India. As Islam spread southwards on the subcontinent, the form underwent changes to take into account local cultural influences so as to portray the message of Karbala in the medium best understood by the local people, both Muslims and non-Muslims. By the beginning of the 19th century, there was not a corner of the world, from Spain to China, which did not have some form of demonstrations on the 10th of Muharram. The form varied from country to country. In Iran, the most popular form has been passion plays as a medium to transmit the message of Karbala, in addition to the majalis from the mimbar. In India, the Ashura processions became part of the Indian Muslim culture. Even the Hindus participated in these processions. The Maharaj was always seen walking behind the alam of Hazrat Abbas, barefooted and without any insignia of his exalted office. Mursiyas and Majalis were such strong influences on the Muslim population that they helped strengthen not only their Islamic beliefs, but also their political resolve. History reports that even Gandhi, on his famous salt march to protest against the oppression of the British Raj, took 72 people with him in emulation of Imam Hussein's protest against Yazid's oppression. It is clear that the message of Karbala has resonated with people from across the globe and will continue to do so until the Day of Judgment.